Let's pray.
Our Father in heaven, we come to you this morning. Thank you, Lord, for the words that we have already heard that have affected and touched our hearts this morning already. I do now pray for Brother James here as he brings your word to us. I pray that you would anoint his lips, give him courage, give him confidence in you, not in himself, Lord. Give him boldness and humility, and just help us as hearers to receive all that you have for us today. We know your word can speak to us wherever we're at, whatever we're facing. I pray that you would do that for each one of us, that we could be fed today, that you would give us the things that are needful for us. Help us to have courage to go forth into this world and to face the difficulties and trials that come our way with courage, confidence, that we will look forward to that blessed day when you will call us to that new and eternal home, and all these things will be behind us. Thank you for this day. I pray in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Melvin. Greetings. In that name, that is above all names, it is that name that everyone in this room will answer to one day. If we think about that, it should bring a sober reality in our hearts and minds. It does mine. I want to welcome each one here today. Thank you for joining us. Thank you, Brother Conrad, for choosing that song. I can't see you right now, but thank you. I'd like to take the opportunity and maybe read that song, because that's where I'm at today, right now at this moment. That's what I'm standing before you, somewhat trembling. The song was 928. Brother Conrad must have known that I need this. Prince of Peace, control my will. Bid this struggling heart be still. Bid my fears and doubting cease. Hush my spirit into peace. Thou hast bought me with thy blood. Open wide the gate to God. Peace I ask, but peace must be, Lord in being, one with thee. May thy will, not mine, be done. May thy will, mine, be one. May thy will and mine be one. Chase these doubtings from my heart. I'm confessing today that I'm doubting that it's going to come out right, what is laid, God has laid in my heart. I'm asking you, if it does, bear with me. Now thy perfect peace impart. Savior, at thy feet I fall. Though my life, my God, my all, let thy happy servant be one forevermore with thee. Thank you, Brother Leon, for that opening message. You read my closing verses, so now I'm not sure what to do. Maybe we just read them again, maybe. Let's be one. And I'm sensing that today. Brother Leon shared here. He took some of my message. I wish he could preach the core of my message today. I have a subject before me here that I'm a little nervous. Thank you, Darren, for that children's lesson. Got a question. Are you endeavoring today to be salt of the earth? I was challenged greatly yesterday in that setting that we were encountered with. The message that God laid in my heart when Brother Steve called me and, oh yeah, I'm going to preach it. But then as time went on, I wasn't so sure about that. And then I got a little glimmer of hope Saturday evening that I might be getting out of this. But that only lasted for about 20 minutes. And I said, okay, Lord, I'm dying. And I'll do thy will. But I need your prayers. I need your prayers. I can't do this on my own. I'm going to write the title on the board. And I'm going to try to go through this as rapidly as I can. When I feel that I'm getting the point across, I'll quit. Is that a negative statement? No. When I feel that the point is across, I'll quit. And I don't think I have to go very far. So we'll see how long this message is. I was, with Cam many, many years, and I went to some of their speakers' meetings to learn how to speak and what to do when it's time to do it. And my teacher said, you need to find the exit route. And I'm thinking, what does he mean by that? He said, you need to go. You need to find out. It's important to find out where you're going to quit is where you're going to start. So when it's time to quit, you quit. And there was a few times that I was just a little bit challenged with that. And I was in Manitoba, Canada, one time doing a presentation. And I was about three-fourths done. And Brother Steve, you can do this if you want. I was about three-fourths done, and I looked back at the elder of the church, and he goes like this. I went to the exit route immediately. So now I know the importance of an exit route, the finish line. So bear with me. I'm going to write the title on here. And a few other things. And while we're doing that, will you please sing, I think it's 450. Merv, will you lead that song? Deeper, is that what that is? Where's Merv? Is that what it is? Sing that song, please. The reason that this title has been a little scary for me to prepare is I can't recall to ever hear a message on jealousy. I tried to go back and see if I could find one and that someone preached, and I looked, and I couldn't find one. So therefore, everything that's being said here today is not based off of anything that I heard. It's strictly coming from a burden that's on my shoulders. And I want to make one thing clear here. There is a jealousy that's godly. And we're going to speak about that a little bit after I speak about the jealousy of God. We serve a jealous God. And he's jealous over every single soul in this room. If you're sitting in here today and you're going the wrong way, if you have never been converted, you have never bowed your knees before that God that's jealous over you. That's a godly jealous. I'd encourage you, if you're sitting in here and you have never bowed your knees, open your ears and listen. Maybe that's why you're not coming. Maybe that's why you're not bowing your knees. You know, your ears are not open. Maybe you have plugged them. I'm here to tell you that you are very jealous. And I'll try to explain that a little later. You're very jealous. You need to open your ears and hear what the Word of God says. Not me. You're here and you're very jealous if you haven't bowed your knees to Him. And God is jealous over you. I had the picture last night as we saw that crowd of ungodly people, how God is looking down and the burden that He has, the jealousy that He has over every single soul that was there, and they just mock Him. Are we that jealous over the lost and the dying? We should be. Are we jealous over the one sitting amongst us, maybe, that has never bowed their knees? Maybe we have someone listening on the phone line that has never bowed their knees. We're jealous over you. God is jealous over you. That's a godly jealous. You can have that. It's okay. Maybe if you don't have that, now I'm saying these things carefully, okay? Maybe if you don't have that jealousy, I'm going to keep moving on to the next part. Dads, fathers, men, you need to be very jealous over your own home. You hear that? You need to be jealous. You have that godly jealous over your children. You need to be jealous over the door of your house. The music that comes through the doors of your house, you need to be very jealous over. The friendship of your children, you need to be very jealous of who they are. I don't think it would be accurate for me to say that it's not in this room. Because the Bible speaks about it so much, that we're only going to touch the iceberg, the tip of the ice of it today. Because time's not going to allow it, I can see that already. But if you have that godly jealous over your home, if you don't have it, then you're probably on the other side of the coin to what we're going to talk about next. You will probably end up with struggling children in the home. I got a little testimony that I would like to share. Dads, never be jealous over other families. Oh, if my family would just be like that family. That's a foul. That's a destroyer of your own home. I confess that I did that before I was converted. I told my children, if you would only be like those children, God forbid. God forbid. But now I'm converted. And I'm in a situation where I have jealousy in my heart. There's a man that worked for CAM for years. And all of a sudden he decided to quit. And you know what I did? In my heart, I started saying, you know what? I believe I would qualify for that job. And guess what? I didn't get it. I didn't get it. They didn't even ask me. A spirit of jealousy wanted to creep in, and it did. And it was doing something to me that I knew that I had to do something about it. I had to do something about it. I had to nip that thing. But it was difficult because I knew as much as that man that got the job. In fact, these thoughts crossed my mind. I was there longer than he was. I had to deal with that thing. Brothers, if you're here today and those thoughts cross your mind, you need to kill it. Now I believe I could take my seat, right? Because it will destroy you. It will take you where you don't want to go. And it will take your family with it. I believe if I'd have entertained that thought longer, long enough, I probably would not be with CAM today anymore. That's how I believe. But you can't do it on your own. It's impossible. You need to get on your face before that jealous God, and you need to repent. Because it won't work. And it's not in the kingdom of God. And it will never be there. So I had to repent. I had to repent. Yeah, did I make a big show of it? Of my repentance? No. Because there didn't a whole lot of other people know it. My wife didn't even know it. Didn't share it with her. It was just not too long ago. But I came before a holy God. I came before that jealous God. I said, yes, Lord. It doesn't matter. I'd like to read a few verses in the scriptures. Let's turn your Bibles to James. James has some pretty clear direction, pretty sound. James 3, verse 13. Say, who is a wise man endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness and wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and strife, by the way, when the King James Version talks about envying, that's the same word as jealous. And I'm going to read some verses on a different version, and we'll see it. Then it says, but if you have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth from above, but is earthly and sensual and devilish. For where envy and strife is, where jealousy is, there's strife. I don't even have strife on there. But I believe the root core of this jealousy is selfishness. And we need to deal with it. Because it's the core of everything else. It's the core of covetousness. And then we can be proud about it yet, maybe, huh? And then it comes to bitterness. Now we're in big trouble. And it's just simply called unsurrender. That's what it is. If you're in here and you have a selfish motive, you're just simply unsurrendered to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, not me. I'm pleading with whoever, if there's any a trace of this, just a trace of it, we need to deal with it. We need to kill it. But where envy and strife is, there is a confusion in every evil work. Strong words, but that's what the Scripture saith. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then it's peaceable, and it's gentle, and it's easy to be entreated, full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in the peace of them that make peace. By the way, jealousy brings no peace. This type of jealousy that I'm preaching about right now will bring no peace. Next chapter, verse. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust that war in your members? You lust and you have not. You kill and desire to have. Desire to have. In the NIV version, it says, desire to have what your neighbor has. Surely we don't have any of that. And you cannot obtain. You fight and you war. And you have not. It's not yours. Because you ask not. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss, that you may consume upon your lust. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of this world is an enmity with God? Whosoever there will be in a friend of the world is an enemy of God. Do you think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusts to envy? Maybe sometimes we envy and we are so jealous off of what our neighbor has, we actually eventually get it. Eventually get it. There's much we could read there on that scripture. but I'm going to move on. Proverbs 14:30 says, a peaceful mind gives life to the body. This is another version. But jealousy rots the bones. And another version of that scripture saith, but jealousy is more dangerous. More dangerous than if you're an angry man. Titus 3, I like to turn to that on the King James Version here. I have it in another one. By the way, these verses that I read in another version, I would like for you to write them down because we're not going to turn to them all. And you go to do reference on your own. And if there's a verse or so that I read that there's a little of this, talk to me. That's not my intentions. My intention is this, and it's God's intention, that we get the point. So are you here this morning? Do you have your ears open? I know for many, many years I had my ears stuffed shut. I wasn't hearing. I could give you a testimony on that. And if the time allows, I may. But it's not going to. Titus 3. I got to keep moving here. Titus 3:3. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy and hateful, and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of God and Savior toward man appeared. I'm not here to tell you that that's where you're at today. Not at all. Please understand me. That's not. I don't believe there's a single person in the room there. But if there's a trace of jealousy, that's where you're going. A trace of jealousy and you don't deal with it. That's where you're going. That's where you're going. I'm going to read that in another version. We were once foolish, disobedient, deceived, and slaves to our desires. I'm not asking for a raise of hands, but I think most of us would raise our hands. In various pleasures, we were spending our lives on evil behavior and jealousy. We were disgusting, and we hated other people. No, you're not hating other people. I'm not saying you're there. But if you don't deal with it, if there's a trace of it, and you don't deal with it, that's where you're going. Is it clear enough? You're going to have to deal with it. You're going to have to deal with it. There's a couple verses here that I'm not sure that I understand. I'll ask for a little help maybe later on. It says, don't envy evil people. Don't be jealous over evil people. How's that possible? But I think we had a clear picture of it last night. It seemed like the evil people were jealous over the evil people, and they were trying to outdo each other. Right, Mark? It was unbelievable, some of the things we faced. One man told Mark, "You get out of my face or I'll hit you." He's envying over another evil person. He's trying to exceed him. No, we're not there. I know we're not. But I believe if you're in here today and you have never bowed your knees to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, that's where you're at. You are envying over the ones that are sinning. And you possibly could be trying to outdo them. So I encourage you to bow your knees today. Because you are a very jealous person. You need to know that there's a jealous God that He has His hands hovering out over you. And He's waiting for you to bow your knees. And He'll hold His hand out over you all day long. He will never let His hand down until you do it. Then the God of heaven will rejoice. Proverbs 6:34. Husbands, listen. Men, listen. In the version that I'm going to read, it used the word husband. For jealousy arouses a husband's fury, and he will show no mercy. And he will show no mercy when he takes revenge. That's a strong verse. So let's go to Proverbs. Let's go to the King James Version and read it there. Proverbs 6:34. Like I said, please write these references down and go search some of these verses on your own. But we're going to 6:34, Proverbs. And we're going to read it in that version. For the jealousy is the rage of a man. Therefore, he will not spare in the day of vengeance. When he gets an opportunity to take revenge on somebody, he will not spare it. How serious is it, brothers and sisters, to get a hold of this and deal with it? If the Bible wasn't warning us so much about it, then I believe it's impossible for it to be here. Why? Who's he warning? The world outside here is full of that, full of jealousy and hatred. So just a side note here, Ananias and Sapphira, why do you suppose they got where they got? They got where they got because of this, right here. They were selfish, and they were covetous. They had covetousness in their heart. They wanted to get more, and they wanted to get more. They wanted more. They're a prime example of jealousy in the Scriptures. Let's turn to Galatians 5. Galatians 5:19. It's the scriptures of the work of the flesh. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, and these are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, jealousy. It's right there amongst all of them. Murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. It's impossible. I'm not preaching a doom gloom message here today, brothers and sisters, not at all. I'm preaching a message of warning. I don't believe there's anybody in here that's falling in these sins. If there is, you're in worse shape than you think you are. I don't believe you are. But let's go inside here and see where we are with jealousy and envy and selfishness and covetousness. They will not be in the kingdom of God. They will not be there what we're going to talk about later. We're not going to be where Leon talked about this morning. They won't be there. They will be outside of that. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. This is a blessing here. This is a blessing, brothers and sisters. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such is no law. You can have all of it you want. And the jealous God that we serve wants you to have this. What we just read, he wants you to have that. Because that is what he is toward you. He loves you. He has patience with you. He did me. Another thing I like to, I was going to share, we need to be very jealous over the Church of Jesus Christ. We need to be very jealous over the Church of Jesus Christ. We need to be very jealous of what we hear. Proverbs 3:31 says, do not envy a man of violence, and do not choose any of his ways. Be careful. Be careful what we listen to. They come to you with a different doctrine. We need to hear it and mark it if it doesn't line up with this. Be careful. Be very jealous. Those are the types of jealousy we can have. Be jealous of what we hear. Be jealous of the places that we go. For the sake of the body of Christ. For the sake of the body of Christ. This is precious, brothers and sisters, this is precious. And I thank God from the bottom of my heart for this. And I'm very jealous over it. Because I believe this from the bottom of my heart. I don't believe I could be where I'm at today if it wasn't for this body of Christ, the brothers and sisters that are praying for me and my wife while we're out there. Very, very jealous over it. And so is God. God is yet more jealous. That's why he's warning us in the scriptures about this right here. That's why he's warning us. The last scripture verse I'm going to read, and I'm going to bring this to a close, because I believe I've said enough. Hebrews 13:5. I'm going to read it in the New King James Version. Make sure that your character is free from the love of money. Being content with what you have. Be content with the vocation that the Lord has given you. Be content where you are. Don't covet over someone else's position. That's dangerous. It'll take you where you don't want to go. And you're going to be in big trouble unless you deal with it. And if we get victory over this thing, then God says this, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Hallelujah. He's able. He is able to do abundantly and above all that we ask or think. Amen. Do you have a trace of this in your life? God is able to put a finger on it. And if he does, deal with it. Maybe if we get a vision, maybe it would be good if we would enhance our vision. Enhance our vision for heaven. Like Brother Leon shared this morning. Because I know that's the heart of everyone in here. They want to go there. I know you do. But if we don't conquer this with the help of God, and it takes you where you don't want to go, and it will, without a shadow of doubt. These two here are hard to detect. But God knows. And rest assure you, and you know that God knows. So if you're in here today and you have never bowed your knees to the Lord, then you're not going to go to Brother what Leon said this morning. That's not yours. That's only for the sanctified, the washed in the blood. I got a song that I like to play. As I take, by the way, I have a. Will you allow me yet to read a poem? I have a poem that I like to read, and I believe it fits well. And I'm going to ask a question pertaining to this poem. Do you feel in your heart that you are a chosen vessel? Sure. Thank you. Where's Denny? By the way, this poem was given by Denny and Leora yesterday, and I appreciate this poem. It says, a chosen vessel. If we want to be the chosen vessel that this poem talks about at the end, we need to deal with this. The master was searching for a vessel to use. Before him were many. Which one would he choose? Take me, cried the gold one. I am shiny and bright, of great value, and I do things just right. My beauty and luster will outshine the rest. And for someone like you, master, gold would be best. The master passed on with no word at all. I'll serve you, dear master. I'll pour out your wine. I'll be on your table whenever you're done, whenever you dine. My lines are so graceful. My carvings are so true. And silver will always compliment you. Full of jealousy, unheeding, the master passed on to the brass. He went right by it. Wide-mouthed and shallow and polished like glass. Here, here, cried the vessel. I know I will do. Proud and arrogant. Place me on your table before all men to view. Proud and arrogant. Look at me, cried the goblet of crystal so clear. My transparency shows my content so clear. Though fragile I am, I will serve you with pride. And I am sure I'll be happy in your house to abide. The master came next to a vessel of wood, polished and carved. It solidly stood. You can use me, dear master, the wooden bowl said. And I'd rather you use me for fruit and not for bread. The master looked down and saw the vessel of clay. Empty and broken, it helplessly lay. No hope had the vessel. No hope. No hope had the vessel that the master might choose to cleanse and make whole, to fill and to use. Ah, this is the vessel I've been hoping to find. I'll mend it, and I'll use it and I'll make it all mine. I need not the vessel with pride of itself, not the one that is narrow to sit on a shelf, not the one that is big-mouthed and shallow and loud, no one that displays his content so proud, no one that thinks he can do all things just right, but this plain earthly vessel filled with power and might. Then gently he lifted the vessel of clay, mended and cleansed it, and filled it that day. Spoke to it kindly. There's work you must do. Brothers and sisters, there's work you must do. Just pour out, serve others. Why pour into you? But this has to be dealt with. May God bless you. Thanks for being attentive. And I'd ask Brother Dan to sing that song.
In my childhood, I heard of a heaven. I wondered if it could be true that there are sweet mansions up yonder, up there somewhere beyond the blue. And I wondered if people really go there till one day sweet Jesus came in. Then I caught a vision of heaven, my soul through all ages shall sing.
Heaven,
happy home above,
heaven,
land of peace and love. Oh, it makes me feel like traveling on,
heaven,
eternal. Traveling on
heaven
eternal.